Well, thank you very much for coming along, really, and it's just to launch a discussion document on what is just one more action, I guess, on a campaign to try and reduce the number of people in New Zealand smoking. We signed up to the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, and we have then locked ourselves into a process that lays out some good moves towards harm reduction and ultimately, of course, the reduction in smoking from tobacco. So it's our pleasure to launch this. The discussion document is basically focusing on one main area, and that is the size of the pictorial warnings. We've had previous consultation with the tobacco industry, discussed whether we should or should not have pictorial warnings, decided that we should. The issue of the size is one that we now want to talk with the industry and with people on, and there are two options. One is for roughly 50% of the packet to be covered, or 60%. And the alignment with Australia, which is about 60%, which would be 30% on the front and 90% on the back, is one of those options. We'll seek feedback on that before we make any final decisions. I'm happy to take any questions on this, but I'm enthusiastic as Associate Minister of Health. The facts are overwhelming that smoking cigarettes kills people, and we have a responsibility as a government to try and reduce that harm, the deaths from cigarettes. And it's about 4,500 deaths per year that are attributable directly to cigarette smoking. And in any other area of government responsibility, if we identify harm, then we have a responsibility to try and move and to reduce that harm and reduce the effects from that. That's what we're doing here. We're signing up to an international agreement. We've done that, and we're looking at ways to improve, basically, the information that we give to smokers when they purchase legally the product. So I guess it's a little bit of truth and labelling, the way I see it. But I'm happy to take any questions. Ashley Bloomfield-Healy is in the Ministry of Health. He's worked with us through this process and is also available to answer any questions that you might have.
British American Tobacco said this morning that warning labels on cigarette packets haven't stopped people from smoking and buying cigarettes, and pictures aren't going to do a blind bit of difference either. What do you think about that?
Well, they haven't stopped people smoking, and I guess the cigarette companies put in a large amount of effort into marketing and promoting that. We have a responsibility to try and offer counter-information. And the information and evidence is that young people in particular do look at these pictorial warnings. They take the messages on board, and while they might not immediately perhaps change their behaviour and stop smoking, over time we believe that they do take those messages on board. And those messages are rather blunt. The pictorial warnings are rather graphic. They are horrible, but so too are the results of too many people who take up smoking.
Aren't you cutting your nose off to spite your face, though? You take a lot of revenue through tobacco tax, and as Michael Cullen once made the point that people tend to die younger, they don't claim superannuation. Here you are trying to die.
I don't think we're taking a very exact fiscal calculation on this whole exercise. In the end, if we get a little bit less tax from less people smoking, then I think that's something that the government's quite happy to accept. The cost of dealing with smoking-related illnesses in this country is huge. We want to cut down on that, as well as the deaths from smoking. And overall, if that means less tax, then that's something I'm sure that Michael will be prepared to accept.
These photos here, like the gangrene here, have they all got to be associated with smoking? I mean, is that the prerequisite for having these photos?
Absolutely. The evidence is clear that these are the likely results of long-term smoking.
Are these actual results of smoking?
Yes, these are results. We've had to search the world to make sure that we've got credible images that we can use, that they are identified with smoking. That was part of a lengthy process that we've gone about to make sure that the images are correct.
How long will it be before a decision's made on the size of the pictures?
We'll probably make a final decision around September and hope to have the regulations in place by the end of the year. There'll be recommendations come to me just prior to September. And we hope we can turn around and make that decision reasonably quickly. There is an obligation to have these warnings in place or to increase the size of the warnings on cigarette packs by February 2008. So we need to give the industry enough lead time to make sure they change the way that they're doing the packaging.
Some smoke-free lobby groups have been campaigning for this kind of thing for a long time. They've been asking, why has it taken so long for this kind of consultation document to be released?
Well, the reality is we're dealing with a product that is legally saleable, that we've got an industry in place. We have to work with that industry to reduce smoking. Anything that we do, of course, has a direct impact on them, and we have to negotiate with them in good faith. The objective of ours is quite clear. We want to reduce the number of people smoking. And we have an obligation, as we do in all areas of government responsibility, to consult and with both parties. Most of the smoking, anti-smoking groups would of course like to ban smoking, but that is not a realistic option. Moving towards the goal of perhaps very few people smoking is something that we do share. The process of getting there is one that you know, government has to manage responsibly.
How are cigars sort of affected? I mean, obviously they can go into a cigarette packet, but what about cigars?
Where you've got a very small, I think less than 0.2% of the market share, and some cigars will come into that, they have to substantially comply with these regulations. So for those who are supplying or chewing tobacco, I think is another area where there will have to be warnings that substantively comply with these regulations. Ashley might like to.
The issue around cigars is if they're supplied in packets, they have to comply with the regulations. Some cigars are made available as single cigars, and that's an issue that we're still working through with, as are the Australians. So we haven't made any final sort of recommendations around that at the moment. You know, over 99% of the market is cigarettes available in cigarette packets, and that's where we get the biggest hit.
And these are images that the Ministry of Health has come up with for an advertising agency?
These images are all, I think, to an image, taken from other countries overseas. So one of the delays in the process has been getting the copyright for those images from the EU and Australia in particular. So these are all used and recommended in other jurisdictions.
Were the written warnings on cigarettes just not getting the message across?
Sorry?
Were the written warnings that have been in place on cigarettes for a few years, is that not just getting the message across?
Well, we feel we can do better, and the messages have been there for a while. This is one step up. Graphic warnings are clearly understandable by most people, regardless of which language they may read. We've had those in Māori as well. The smoking rate among Māori people is still far too high. So whatever lever and I guess tool we can use to try and reduce smoking, we will do so. We do that in conjunction with the industry who have to make the changes.
Perhaps just a comment there, Minister. Actually, repeated surveys show that smokers tend to both underestimate the risk of diseases associated with smoking and also don't actually know about many of the diseases. And a good example here is peripheral vascular disease, which can lead in its worst forms to gangrene and require amputations. And a study that's just been published in Australia, actually in the last day or two, showed that 75% of smokers didn't feel that smoking was caused peripheral vascular disease and could lead to gangrene. So despite the fact there has been good information about the risks associated with smoking for many years, there are still a number of smokers who don't understand those risks. And the evidence does show that pictorial warnings do get that message across better than just written statements.
How much is the design of the images and subsequent campaign going to cost? And is that purely out of the public purse, or is there any industry involvement in that cost?
I think the industry have put up figures, approximate figures, I think $150,000 or thereabouts for the cost of changing the design. It's a relatively small amount. The campaign will be part of an ongoing campaign that we're already running. We'll just be using images that hopefully might have more effect.
the cost of putting the pictures on cigarette and tobacco packaging is borne by the industry. We'll be providing them with a very comprehensive package about the warnings, the sizes, and the images, but the responsibility for putting them on and the cost is borne by the industry.
It must be unique in that here's a manufacturer trying to sell a product but immediately denigrating the product. Yeah, through these images. I mean, it's a unique situation.
Well, I guess it's truth in labelling.
You don't necessarily have that on alcohol, though, do you? And that causes...
There have been calls for some people, of course, to boost the labelling on alcohol. You know, that's an issue that's being discussed among the community at the moment. But the outcomes from smoking are far more clear. They are far more acute in most cases, whereas the consumption of alcohol, of course, is enjoyed by the vast majority of New Zealanders without harm. It's the abuse of alcohol that we want to try and stop.
Tobacco is a unique product. It's the only product that when you use it according to the manufacturer's instructions, it damages your health. And any cigarette damages your health. So it's a different approach from alcohol where, as the Minister says, the majority of New Zealanders, 83% of New Zealanders use alcohol. The vast majority use it in moderation and sensibly and don't have any harms associated with it. Cigarettes and tobacco are quite different.
Your press release talks about a 2% drop in smoking rates in Canada after the production of the pictures. Are you hoping for a similar or better result? And what sort of health measures impacts would that sort of 2% drop demonstrate?
I guess if we get a 2% drop in the number of people dying each year, 4,500, 2% on that is, you know, 800 or plus people, I guess that is a real improvement. Obviously, these things take time to flow through, but we would be hoping to see a further drop in the prevalence rate of smoking across the country from this move.
Yeah, I mean, the prevalence of smoking has dropped about 1% over the last couple of years in New Zealand. We're down about 23.4%. Still quite a bit higher than other countries that have taken the approaches we have. This is one area where we are a little bit behind countries like Canada and Australia. Every 1% drop in the prevalence of smoking is 30,000 less smokers. That's significant.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your effort and your assistance in getting the message across. I hope you don't see the messages too often. I'm sure not many of you smoke. Kia ora.